Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
Welcome back to the table. This is our series studying the culture that Jesus brought to the table in ministry. We see oftentimes in his Gospels that Jesus is around a table, and he brought a culture to that setting. It wasn't so much, he wasn't really concerned with the Jewish culture because he kind of messed up those traditions pretty regularly on purpose. He wasn't really concerned with who was across from him at the table, in so much that he was making sure that they knew the kingdom culture that he brought to the setting. And I believe that's important, that as a church, we should function that same way, that regardless of where we're situated, regardless of who's in the room, regardless of all the other changeable factors, the unchangeable factor is the presence and the glory of God. The culture of the kingdom needs to flow through us like it did through Jesus. We need to take that on. We need to live that out. What Jesus majored on, we should major on. What Jesus didn't major on, we should not major on, right? And we should do things like he did. And this is one of the ways he did that, around the table. We looked at the things that Jesus did. His culture is based on the kingdom, and his ministry preferred people over traditions, love over legality, and humanity over politics. It's very important to get those things across, especially in our Facebook day and age. God help us with politics. Okay, moving on. We looked back at the banquet table and God's desire to connect people of every situation. Everybody is welcome at this table. Amen? We looked at the breakfast table last week. That was a bit of a mess, if you were here. I clearly don't cook. But God's forgiveness and love for us was what we saw around the table there. Today we turn to Luke 19, where Jesus is in the city of Jericho and he met a short guy. Wouldn't that be terrible? That's what you're known by. Hey, there's a short guy. Okay, anyway. That's where he was. Let's look at the text there. I'm going to read it to you. I didn't put it up on the screen because it's a chunk of a story. So if you want to flash back to kindergarten with me, just sit crisscross applesauce and I'll read you a story this morning, okay? Or you can follow along on your copy if you'd like to, beginning in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 2. A man was there in the city of Jericho by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed. Maybe he's a financial planner. Sorry. Okay. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Everybody gasped. How dare he do that? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." It's a very well-known story. If you've got any church background, if you were in kids' ministry for more than a month, you probably had the Zacchaeus little story, and because it was fun for the flannel graphs and whatever. Anybody remember flannel graphs? Anybody? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, both of you. Thank you. All right. Great message from Luke on Jesus saving the outsider. We've studied Luke together, right? And Luke is very concerned about the outsider being brought in to the kingdom. That's what he just majors on constantly. That's so important to him because he's a Gentile. He's an outsider and he needs in this kingdom, right? So Luke is including this outsider into the story, this tax collector. Who was known, I mean, they all looked at him and just judged him as a sinner because he was a tax collector, because of what he did and how that worked. It seems like a connect story, illustrating Jesus' love for those who are lost. And it is, it's true. But it's also a grow story for a couple of other reasons that often get overlooked. See, this is one of the rare times in Scripture when Jesus reaches someone and then he has more interaction with them after that moment. Oftentimes he'll heal somebody, he'll do this, he'll raise somebody, this will happen, he'll heal their blindness, he'll whatever, he'll fix their legs, he'll do whatever the situation, and then they just walk off and that's the last we hear or see of him. This one, he does something, and then he goes to the guy's house, and we get to hear the story that happens afterwards. It's pretty cool. It's kind of a different setting. And what we find is the next steps that are going along with that. It's nice for everyone just to say, okay, I'm with Jesus. Cool. See ya. Have a nice day. It's another thing to go have lunch after and talk about what that means in real life. That's growth. All right? We're going to talk about that this morning. So here in that situation, we see some of that with the disciples' lives, with some detail and story as they follow Jesus, but most of the time it's a quick story and off he goes. But here in Luke 19, we follow them to Zacchaeus' house. Maybe a porch or a patio, something like this, maybe sitting on the deck in his yard because everybody was listening. I don't know if that was open air or what the case may be. But we hear the crowd resist this connecting point with such a sinner. They're like, why in the world would you go to that man's house? They were judging the exteriors. They were judging things as they were, not what they could be or should be. And then we see growth. We see Zacchaeus' response to the goodness of God. He stands up and gives half his possessions to the poor. Just, I receive that right now. Anybody here, just stand up and give half your worldly possessions. Okay, anyway. We'd receive that. Just make the check out. That'd be great. He stands up and gives half of his possessions to the poor. He writes a career of wrong. See, tax collectors, the reason they were so hated was because they, number one, they worked for the sinful overlord government, right? But then on top of that, they would often line their pockets. They'd say, you owe this much. And maybe they didn't actually owe that much. You owed five, and they'd say, you owe me 10. And you really couldn't argue with them because they were run by the man. And so you'd give him 10, and he'd take the five, put it in his pocket, and give the government the other five. So he'd line his own pockets with blackmail money. I don't know what else you can call it. It was just wrong. It was just wrong. Like somebody charging you twice what something costs, and they just pocket the rest and keep it and say that's what it costs. It's not fair, and that's what the reputation was. That's part of how he was so wealthy. This was a wealthy region, and he was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. The scripture even points that out. He had a lot of money, okay? So from doing this, and that's what they all understood that as the practice, that was the situation, and that's why they were like, why is Jesus going to this guy's house? He just robbed me last week. Right? How dare Jesus condone such an evil thing? Put his seal of approval on that. And Jesus celebrates this growth. So in this moment, Zacchaeus writes a career worth of wrongs. He says, if I've ever wronged anybody, I'll pay back four times what I owe you. Woo! There's a few people that probably shouted hallelujah in the background. It wasn't in the text. Like, glory! You know, they got all excited. Church happened, right? So they were excited about that, and this is that's a big deal. He's not just saying, yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you, and then go and do his own thing, right? Because, let's be honest, we've seen that in the church over the years. Lots of people want to get saved on Sunday, but it doesn't affect anything else the rest of the life, right? We had kids in our youth ministry in PA, they were like, ooh, yeah, I want to get saved, I want to go to heaven, that'd be great. Give me two. They'd just sign up for salvation, and then we'd like talk with them afterwards, and they're like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I just don't want to go to hell. I'm just scared, you know, so get me out of that. And am I good now? Am I good? Sweet, I'm right with Jesus. Okay, I'll go do what I want now. You know, that's kind of how they would work that. And that's not what Jesus is doing. That's not what we see in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says that, and then he follows up with it. He puts his money literally where his mouth is and follows up with this. And so he stands up and does that. Jesus celebrates it, and he reminds everyone that he is seeking and saving the lost. Jesus commends Zacchaeus' response to the grace of God. He's like, this guy's in. He gets it. And then he reminds the crowd that's listening that he's not here to seek the found. He's here to seek and save the lost. The ones who need him most. The ones who've done it all wrong. That's who we're after. That's who we're seeking to connect with so that we can see them grow into a relationship with Christ. making them found and making them right with God and others is the point. Can I pause here and challenge us to stay on this point as a church? If you're new to your faith is supposed to change you. It is supposed to do something new. You are new ways. You are new allegiance. New life is the point. From death to life, all things are made new. Culture clashes will happen when you follow Jesus. Jesus ran into them, and we will too. You're going to run into things where Jesus says one thing and our culture says another, and you're going to have to choose who you're allianced with. Who you are connected with, who you are following, who you are identifying with. It's got to be with Jesus if you're going to grow in a relationship with Him. If you're not new to your faith, Jesus makes this purpose very clear in the verses that follow. Verse 11 says, while they were listening to this, He went on to tell them a parable. This is when Jesus often talks to the church folks. He gives them a parable. He gives them a story that they're like, ooh, story time, you know, and they cross their legs and get up close, you know, and they listen because they usually can recognize the story and they think they know where it's going usually. And then He always kind of takes and turns a corner and they're like, wait a second, what's going on there? And so He tells them a story. So Jesus realizes that Zacchaeus has got this right. He's following Him, praise God, He's growing, He's realizing He's not just going to say this, but He's going to do something with it as well. And now, while everyone's listening, let me find this teachable moment. Jesus steps into that, okay? This next level lesson for them and, thank the Lord, for us. Here's what He says in Luke 19, beginning in verse 12. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. Now that sounds like what all the Jewish audience was like excited about because they thought Jesus was going to do that. They're like, ooh, He's telling us a story about what's going to happen. He's prophesying. This is going to be good. And they think they know how that's going to work too. And He's going to get some clarity for them. Verse 13, so He called 10 of His servants and gave them 10 minas. Everybody say mina. A mina basically is a financial investment, the equivalent of about 3 months' wages. I thought about getting a few $1,000 and just having them lay it up here on the stage, but I thought that might have been difficult for Pastor Chad during worship, you know, or maybe the rest of us. There have been a lot of people come to the altar, wouldn't there? Like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyway. All right, so, about 3 months' wages. He gives 10 of His servants about 3 months' wages. You can do the math on your income. That's a pile, all right? He gives them a startup. He said, put this money to work until I come back. But His subjects hated Him and sent a delegation after Him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. However, Jesus kind of glosses through this. He was made king, however, and He returned home. He just kind of flies through that and doesn't go back to it, okay? Then He sent for the servants to whom He had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. So there's a responsibility here. There's a reckoning. There's an accountability. All good, healthy relationships are accountable. If there's no accountability, that's a broken relationship. Right? So He brings them and says, okay, what did you do with the money? The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. He multiplied that investment by 10 times. Woo! Right? Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you. Because you're a hard man, you take out what you did not put in, and you reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in, and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they replied, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but as the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. And then he goes back to the story for just a quick verse, and we're not even going to dwell on this very long. But those enemies of mine who do not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. This master's like, he's accountable. There's a judgment coming. Jesus is referring to it. So let's refresh the situation. Jesus is at Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus has given his life to Christ. He's like, I want to follow you, and I'll do what it takes to make things right between you and me and everybody else and right with God. I want to be right. Zac just stood up and got right in front of everybody and gave half his stuff to the poor. A huge step into new life, and Jesus celebrated it. Then Jesus applied it to everyone nearby with a parable, which is a story with a point. Typically, parables have one point. When we make a bunch more, we're kind of missing the point. They usually have one key that they're targeting when Jesus tells a parable. And what he's trying to tell us is that his story has their attention because it sounds like a plan they'd expect, like he's going to Jerusalem and being made king and then coming back to inspect their work. But the point Jesus is making is centered on bearing fruit versus wasting resources. It's bearing fruit versus wasting resources. It's growth. The master, ultimately Jesus, is graciously gifting us life, resource, opportunity, and purpose. We either invest and increase that, which is growth, or we don't. The master's gracious gift was equal to about 3 months' wages. That would have been fun to have that in front of you here. One servant turned his one into 10. Another servant turned his into 5, which are awesome results, right? Notice that Jesus doesn't bash the 5 guy for not performing like the 10 guy did. He didn't say everybody has to make 10. He just said, invest this. Do something with it. To the level of ability that you have, do something with it. And this guy with the 10 apparently had a killer investment idea. And he produced greatly with that. There are people in the kingdom who will produce greatly with just small amounts of resource. God's gifted them talent, give them opportunity. Sometimes it's just timing. Sometimes a lucky dude walks into the middle of it and God's like, ta-da! And they just walk backwards into a huge blessing. Larry Jackson makes me sick with the deals he finds. It's just incredible. Larry's like, oh yeah, I found a rock over the other day and somebody bought it on the internet for $10,000. You know, what do you know? It's amazing, Larry. You're blessed. You're gifted. It's a glory to God thing, right? He has a gift and God uses that. All right? But some people walk into those blessed opportunities and he walked into that and he produced 10 times the amount. And Jesus didn't make it a contest because guess what? It's not a contest. It's not a contest between you and you or you and you. It's not a contest across the aisle. This is not Congress. Okay? We are not fighting each other for power here. We have all been given an investment of something by the goodness and the grace of God, and we are supposed to simply do something with it. Do something with it. Put it to work. Put it to use. The reason the master comes down on the servant with one was his lack of growth. Call it lazy, call it indifferent, call it apathetic. Jesus called it wicked. Jesus said, the least you could have done was put it in the bank and give me some interest. That's the least you could have done. And you guys, if anybody has an interest, like a savings account, you know that's a joke today too, right? He wasn't faithful, he was fearful. Let me challenge you this. Guilt trip confessions to avoid hell have trouble thriving and growing. When people give their lives to Christ, or when you say a prayer to give yourself an eternal fire insurance card to hopefully get out of hell free and just try to cover your bases there, it's hard to thrive and grow if that's the basis of your relationship. Jesus is asking for all of you, not just your after death. He's asking for today, for now, for everything you've got, to be fully invested in what he's offering. His perfect love casts out fear so that we can live and grow. It's a kingdom principle. It's not a contest. It's not competition. It's a kingdom principle to be faithful with what you are given. God has not asked more of you than he is willing to equip you with. Do you believe that? God is not demanding something of you that you cannot produce without his grace and ability to giving to you. He's not expecting more than you can come up with. That's not who he is. God has all the capital. He has all the resources. And he gives those for us to use. Just like the resource in Zacchaeus' hands, he began to grow immediately. Right? Just like the resources in your hands begin to grow. Dig into his word and discover what the kingdom says about life. Lean into those passions and put them to use. God has given you passions and interests and desires for a reason. Some of those desires are sinful natural desires of nature that will lead you into sin, and you need to say no to those. Right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, those things, we need to squelch those things. But God's given you other desires that are good, that are right, that are true. The desire of a husband for his wife, that's a good thing. Develop that. Lean into that relationship. It's healthy. It's right. God's given you passions. He's given you interesting. There's things that you can't ignore. There's stuff you drive by. You're like, ooh, somebody should do something about that. Right? There's things you see at work and you're like, somebody should do something about that. Your name is somebody. Right? You don't have to do everything, but what's on your heart, what those passions, what catches your eye, what grasps a hold of your interest, that kind of thing, that you need to lean into that. God has gifted you that way. Some people can walk by trash and never even see it or smell it. Other people can smell it from the next room and have to do something about it. You call that lazy? I call that giftings. Because there's just something about different people that have different passions and giftings. And God's given you those resources so that you can do something about it. So you can do something with that for the kingdom. Even if it's small, even if it's savings account interest, God is not disappointed at that. He's just disappointed, and he calls us to account when we don't do something with it. We need to grow. Next steps. Move forward. Identify those needs and use your gifts to solve them. Learn and grow and flourish like all living things do. We are not holding the fort until Jesus gets back. That's not the goal. We are growing. We are not hiding out from the lost world trying to survive. We are thriving. We have life. We have light in the darkness. Every time you turn on light, it beats darkness. Light always wins. God has saved us and he's invested in us. So the question is, are we growing? God has given you talents, ideas, and opportunities. Are we putting them into action? Every healthy relationship has accountability. Are we faithful or are we fearful? This is not about earning our salvation or getting good enough to be saved. That's not what this is about, because that's settled through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He paid a debt that we owed that we could never pay. So this is about, let's get good so that we can earn our way to heaven. That's not the point. There's no way we can do that. Jesus made that possible, right? But once we are in, once we are under that grace of Jesus, once he has empowered us with that grace, then we need to walk in it faithfully with the gift that he's given us, the passions that he's given us, in obedience to our Lord and Savior. This is about action. So if you bow your head with me this morning, I want to give you a chance to respond today. I prayed for this. I know this was in my notes, but it really stuck out to me. And leading up to this, that we would respond to the Word of God today. Our culture is dangerously close to attending church like a theater, where we just watch it and we're entertained and then we move on. I believe the Word of God is supposed to be more lasting than that. I believe the Word of God is supposed to challenge us. We're supposed to chew on this and digest it and process it and deal with it forever. continually. Well, Pastor, I've been in church a long time. Well, I understand that, but trees have been in the ground a long time, but they still grow. They still produce fruit. And we've got to follow that pattern of life that God's given us. So first of all, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you a chance to begin that today, just like Zacchaeus. He chose to follow Jesus. He made a motion. He moved on that desire. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know how to follow him. I just need to give my life to Christ. I realize there's something wrong in my life. I realize there's pain, there's hurt, there's disappointment, there's frustration. I realize there's something more to this life. And it's Jesus. Life centered on Jesus. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us a new heart, a new desire, a new passion. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today for the first time. Is that anybody here? I've never done this before, but I want to give my life to Jesus today. Just raise a hand and make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you after service if we can. Anybody here? I want to give my life to Jesus today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. Anybody here?
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.